Amen. I erroneously announced that there was ensemble practice. There will not be ensemble practice today, so keep that in mind. Back to Exodus 35, and can you imagine? I mean, think about it. It's time for the offering. The ushers come forward. Brother Tim comes from his place there, and he stands up and says, "Folks, we don't need to take an offering today." Can you imagine? I mean, how is that possible? He says, it's the end of the month, and he says, you know what? We have enough. That's exactly what happened here. And as many of you, maybe if you're following, we're talking about missions. We kept our flags up from our missions conference, and we're on the theme, A Time for Missions, to go along with our yearly theme, For Such a Time as This. And so the month of October is all about missions and talking about missions. We talked about the mission of missions. Then we talked about the missionary of missions. On Wednesdays, next few Wednesdays, we're going to talk about ministries of missions and different ministries we already support. And then today, as if you're following the alliteration, would be the what? Money for missions. Very good. I heard it out there somewhere. The money for missions. Can you imagine if, honestly, missions conference comes along and Kathy Morin has a meeting with her group and she says, "Folks, you know what? We don't need any more money." I mean, that is hard. That is hard to imagine. Brother Chase meets with his group and says, "Folks, you know, we have everything we need, and we actually have more than we need, and so don't anybody give anything else." Well, that's exactly what happened here. We're talking about the money for missions. Father, thank you so much for your blessings to us and how you always provide for us. You always take care of us. We just rejoice over how you love us and how you are so worthy to be praised. And I pray that you'll work in our hearts today and help us to listen carefully to thy word. And Lord, I pray that we would recognize the responsibility we have in our giving. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Very, very rare to preach about money. It is in the Bible, and it is very clear in the Bible, but it is kind of a rare thing, though I shouldn't be hesitant about it. It just, some people don't, they just don't understand that, but it is a privilege to be able to give. It really is a privilege, and it's a privilege to have a part. I think about this offering here, and the offering was for the tabernacle, and the tabernacle is all about Jesus. The tabernacle is a beautiful, beautiful picture of Jesus, of being saved, of walking with God, of his word, of soul winning, of prayer. I mean, it is a beautiful picture of all of that. And I think as we read this passage and we study this passage, we recognize, you know, really everything should be about Jesus. Everything should be about, and giving is about Jesus. It's about getting the gospel out. It's about people hearing how to be saved, how to know for sure they're saved, how to know they're going to heaven when they die. And that is the message, and that is what the money is all about as we talk about the money for missions. You know, we went to a fellowship with other pastors a few weeks ago, and it's always exciting to talk about other preachers, talk about victories and different things and ideas and all that, and many times we talk about problems and different things. And can you imagine being the preacher that tells a group of preachers, you know, we really have a serious problem. Our people are just given too much. I mean, I've often thought about what a novel idea that would be, and what a great thing. Well, that's what Moses would have had to. He said, "You know what? We just have too much. People have just been given and given and given, and we just have too much. There's just too much giving." Well, I don't think we have to worry about that in this day and age. I don't know of any preachers, and I've never had a preacher tell me that the offerings are too high. I've never had a preacher say, "You know, we're just giving way too much to mission. We just have to back off a little bit." I've told the people, back off a little bit. Never had anybody do that, and it even is hard to imagine. But as I think about building the tabernacle, I'm reminded again that everything is about Jesus. And as you study the tabernacle, you see Jesus in every aspect and our relationship with him. And, you know, our giving should all be about the Lord Jesus Christ and getting out the gospel so that people can be saved. We talk about tithing, and I'm not necessarily talking about that, but tithing is for most Christians, we already know, you know, we understand that. 10% of everything we have is God's. 10%, the Bible doesn't say it'd be a good idea if you give 10%. The Bible says it is God's. Therefore, we give it to him. Amen. Now, we use the word give because it is coming out of what we have. But remember, the only reason we have it is because he gave it to us. And he trusted us. He entrusted us with whatever we have. And therefore, he says the tithe is the Lord's. Now, again, you know, we should never tell God what to do with what is his. And if 10% of all I have is his, then I'm not to tell him what to do with it. He said to put the tithe in the storehouse, and that is the local church. That is what we do. And so I'm automatic every week. 10%, actually more than 10%, but at least 10% is God's, and it goes in the storehouse. And I don't tell God what to do with it. It just goes in the storehouse. That is what our tithe does. That's how we keep the lights on. That's how we pay, I was going to say, for heat. You're saying, well, where is it? But that's how the bills get paid, and all that's the tithe. That's the people that the 10% that belongs to God. The tithe is the Lord's. And so somebody says, well, I'm praying about what to do with my tithe. There's nothing to pray about. God's already said it is his. That'd be like your boss saying, oh, I'm trying to decide what to do with your paycheck. Okay, that's your paycheck. That is not your boss's paycheck. Therefore, he cannot tell you what to do with your paycheck. And you and I should not try to tell God what to do with his 10%. Amen. It is not our place. A lot of people want to do, you know, well, I'm putting my tithe here, there. No, God said, put it in the storehouse, put it in the church, takes care of the church and the bills and all those kind of things. And God ordained the New Testament work through the local church. And that is how it's supposed to be. God supports that with our tithe, and it takes care of all those things. And then we're supposed to give over and above. And a lot of people, I remember when I first got saved and a preacher talked about giving, I thought, I'm going to throw $5 in there every now and then. And I thought that was pretty big. But, you find out after a while that God has so much he wants to do with you. And he has so much he wants to do with our money. He has so much he wants to do with our checkbooks, our savings accounts, if we have such a thing. He has so much that he wants to do and so many ways he wants to use us. And let's be honest, you know, this thing right here causes a lot of problems. You know, it's immediately, there's some probably that, I don't want to hear this, you know, because we become so attached to that. You know, we become so attached to our wallets and our money. And the truth of the matter is, God has a special plan for our money and our giving. And so here, as we mentioned during the missions conference, we support our missions program through Faith Promise program, which the only program of it is this. We say, God, what do you want me to give to missions every week or every month or every year? And I'm going to trust you for that. We don't try to budget it. And the way we do it, we don't say, what can I afford? We say, what do you want me to do? And then we trust God, and we watch God provide that money. We had great testimonies over the missions conference time of folks that just trusted God. And God said, here's what I want you to do next year for your faith promise. And you know, then we kind of scratch our heads and and God says, trust me. And week after week, you know, a check comes for this or something comes for that. We actually had people say that IRS gave them money back. And yeah, I know it's hard to believe. But the truth of the matter is, whatever mode God uses to provide for us, we should trust him with our giving and taking care of the needs and having a part in the work of the Lord. And that's what it's all about. Here in Exodus 35, this is the work of the Lord. This is to build the tabernacle. This is to represent the meeting with God that had to take place, to be led by God and to trust the Lord. And simply the people had to provide. Moses wasn't looking to the bank to figure it all out. Moses wasn't looking to investors to figure it all out. No, Moses did what God told him to do, and that is he went to the people and said, we need you to bring this. We need you to give this. And so as we think about this passage of Scripture, I've got three things that I want to talk to you about that just really jump out at me. And number one, and I think the important thing about it, number one is the recipient of their giving. the recipient of their giving. You'll notice in verse 21, it says, they came everyone whose heart stirred him up and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering. It was the Lord's offering. The recipient of their giving. It's the Lord's offering. If you go back to verse 5, I believe it is, of chapter 35, it says, look at verse 4, Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying. Again, it's God's command. It is God's program. It's how he runs his program. Amen. Verse 5, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. He says, among you, he's talking to the congregation, to the people, and he says, take from among you an offering, which a little while ago we did that, all right? And that's what we do. That is why we do what we do, okay? That's what they did in order to provide the tabernacle. Now, again, you understand the tabernacle. They're providing everything for the tabernacle. We're not talking about just putting checks in the offering plate. We're talking about providing everything. We're talking about silver. We're talking about brass. We're talking about gold. We're talking about wood. We're talking about spinning purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair. Amen. And you'll notice in verse 22, people brought tablets, you know, and nowadays those are worth what? $300, $400, $500 But anyway, it's not the same thing. But earrings, rings, bracelets, jewels, all these kind of things. Why? Because all of this was used, and those things that were gold, they're melted down and they're used. Why? Because God said, I want to have a tabernacle built. I need to meet with you, and I want to teach you about my son, Jesus Christ, through the tabernacle. And what a beautiful picture. And it wasn't, we need to find investors over in this city or that city, or we need to go to some bank. We need to find some people that would be willing. No. Here's what he said. He said, everybody, he said, this is how we're going to do this. You're going to give to God. You're going to give to the Lord. It's the Lord's offering, and that's how we're going to run the ministry. And the Bible says they gave unto the Lord in verse 5. Now look, when you give, who are you giving to? It changes everything when you give to the Lord. It changes everything. I mean, honestly, when I first got saved and I started learning about these things, you initially think, well, I'm giving to the church. If you give to the church, that doesn't work out well. You can end up getting all kinds of problems giving to the church. Who are you giving to? I'm giving to the Lord through the church. I'm going to give to the Lord through what he called the storehouse, where it's supposed to be distributed from, but I'm giving, it's to the Lord. I'm going to bring this offering. I'm bringing, and so a woman would say, I'm bringing my jewelry. I'm giving that to the Lord, however he wants to use it. I'm bringing my silver. I'm bringing my gold. I'm bringing my linens. I'm bringing the blue and the purple, and I'm bringing my goat's hair. Amen. And I'm giving that to the Lord. It's not for the pastor. It's not for the church. It's not for the deacons. It's not for a certain group within the church. It's my offering to the Lord. It's his offering. And it's so important that we understand that. I've had people before, they give an item or something like that, and then they get mad and leave the church and they want to take the item. You know? And that isn't how it works. We're giving to the Lord. Do you understand? When you give to the Lord, it's his. Amen. And you don't have to worry about what happens. You don't fret. You don't worry. Why? Because, well, it's God. God, I gave to you. I trust you with that. And again, you know, God is the one that said, this is how you do it. Sometimes we'll do a special offering. We did this during the missions conference. Brother Shenaberry spoke. And he talked about a pastor in Costa Rica, Pastor Aaron. And he said, this guy has a need. And the Lord touched my heart during the preaching. And I believe I believe this. Nobody tapped me on the shoulder. Nobody said, psst, psst, hey, pastor, we need to. Nobody had to do that, because I think the Lord touched your hearts too. And so it was very easy for me to stand up and say, folks, why don't we help this pastor out? Amen. I don't even know the guy. I don't know anything about him. Why don't we help this guy with his car? And so we started, you know, who would give this? And I believe $1,000 ended up coming in to help this man out. Now, praise the Lord. Amen. But you know what? I didn't give that to Brother Shinneberry. I didn't give that to Berean Baptist Church. I didn't even give that to Pastor Aaron. What I gave to the Lord. Amen. Lord, this is your servant. Now, I will give this to help. And it's up to you, God, what you do. See, some of them, I'm worried. What if that guy's a crook? What if I didn't give it to the guy? I didn't give it to this person. Now, again, we bring people in here that we already support or we can support and all that. But the point I'm making is, we give to the Lord. You know, these people, that's why they're so excited. That's why they're so thrilled. I mean, let's be honest. Man messes all kinds of stuff up. God has never messed anything up. If I give God a dollar, I know that God is going to deal with that however he sees fit. Because it's his. And he does not mess up on anything that he does. So, you give, who do you give to? This is one of the reasons, you know, the Bible says the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And we'll get to that in a minute, a little bit more specifically. But how can you not be cheerful when you're giving to God? How can you not be cheerful? Now, again, we need to make sure, you know, ministries are winning souls and they're giving out the gospel and all those kind of things and everything. But again, God, I'm doing this. I'm giving this to you. And boy, it ought to be exciting. These people, as you read this over and over, it talks about their hearts being stirred up. Why? Because we can give to God. Hey, folks, look, God spoke and the oceans were. God spoke and the Grand Canyon was. God spoke and the mountains were. God spoke and great forests were. Could not God have spoken and the tabernacle was? But he didn't, did he? Could not God speak and the building be? Could not God speak and the bus is the bus? Couldn't he? But he doesn't, does he? Couldn't he speak and we have new carpet? Couldn't he speak and we have new everything? Of course he could. All you have to do is speak. I mean, we're talking about God who put stars in the sky. We're talking in Sunday school. He created everything. Everything. Yeah. We're talking about God. Couldn't he do? No, but what did he do? He told them, he said, Moses, tell the people, take an offering. Isn't it great to be a part? Isn't it great to be a part in God's work? Giving, the recipient of their giving was the Lord. Look at Mark 9 and verse 41. Mark 9. And verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. You know what I love about this? I love the fact that anybody can give something. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how poor you are. They gave. Everybody gave. You know, in my mind, and again, I didn't look up to see how much goat's hair cost. But it seems to me like you would have to have a goat. Amen. I don't know. I just think to me, it seems like, and I could have looked this up, but it seems to me like goat's hair would be a little cheaper than gold. Goat's hair would be less expensive than onyx stones. We had spice, we had oil for the light. We know about the olive oil and anointing oil, and we had incense, all kinds of incense. Seems like some of that was probably very, very expensive, and yet some of the things, shittim wood might not have been so expensive. Just depends how much they brought, maybe. But the whole point was everybody could be a part of it. Isn't that good? You know, our children give to missions. What a blessing it is as I get little notes and little coloring pictures and everything from children, and they talk about how they want to help missionaries and they want to be a blessing. And every now and then, you know, you'll hear about a child put a dime in, and, well, you know, that's... But what can God do with that dime? We're talking about God. Amen. And they have a part in that. Oh, I love it when children take part in Faith Promise. It is never, you know, we'll get the little cards, and I guarantee there will be a little card in there, and some little child put in there. They're going to give maybe 50 cents a week or something like that. What a precious thing that is to me. What a precious thing a parent is teaching that child. If you don't let your kids get involved in that, you're selling them short. You really are, because they can, everybody can. Huh? I mean, the truth of the matter is, God doesn't need any of us. He can make it all. He can build all everything he wants done. He can do it. But he allows us to be a part. And, you know, who do we give to? Amen. Who is the recipient of their giving? It was the Lord. And, you know, who do you give to? Who do you give to? Again, when I first got saved, I was learning all of these kinds of things, and it is a hard thing for a new convert to understand. First of all, it's hard to understand a tithe, 10%. If you make $100, you give 10 to God. Again, I say give to God, but it is already His. You simply put it in, and it gets done with as God sees fit through His church. You know, that was hard. Now, when you're making $100. A month, that isn't, you know, $10 doesn't seem like a whole lot. And back in those days, you know, it maybe did. But a tenth is a tenth, no matter what you make. You know, 10% is 10%. And I remember, you know, when I was learning all of that, and the excitement when I realized that I got to be a part. I got to be a part of the lights being on. I got to be a part of the organization of the church, and I got to be a part of all that. And most importantly, I got to be a part of people getting saved. I gave my testimony about Faith Promise giving, and my first Faith Promise was as a teenager, and just saved teenager, and it was $5 a week. And I worked at a gas station, but the preacher said, "Ask God what He wants you to do," and it was $5 a week. And I was so excited when I realized I got to be a part of that mission program. Amen. You know, every soul, every person whose life is changed. Again, imagine these people as the tabernacle, and it is being put together. And imagine these people. You know, that right there. You know, that piece of badger skin, I gave them. Amen. I had part in that gold right there. What part did you have? Well, I had this little earring. It was about like that, and they melted that down, and I had a part. Look at that gold shining. Isn't that beautiful? I brought in some brass, or some lady says, "Oh, that was my compact mirror." Do you think they had compacts back then? I doubt it. But that was my mirror, and there it is on the laver, and that was used in the making of the laver. I'm just saying, what an exciting thing to have a part in giving. And that is the money for missions. But understand, when you give it, you're not giving it to that missionary. When you give it, you're not giving it to the mission board. You know, people, "Well, I want to know about the mission board." What? No, when we give it, we're giving it to Him. Amen. We're giving it to Him. It's given as unto the Lord. Number one, the recipient of their giving. Number two, the reason for their giving. The reason. Now, you know, there are several things. And the first thing that I write down is because it was the greatest cause in the world. The Lord asked. The Lord, it's His cause. You know, you may say, "Well, I don't care about the tabernacle. You know, I don't understand the tabernacle." And I taught a Sunday school class on the tabernacle. And to be honest with you, you know, even looking back at it like we do now and seeing Jesus in it, it's still a pretty tough subject to talk about, you know, to teach on. It really is. And if you can imagine the folks in the Old Testament, there was probably a lot they did not understand about the tabernacle. Understand, they don't have the advantage that we have. We have the Bible, the whole Bible. They didn't have the whole Bible. And they didn't, you know, if you can imagine badger skins, oh yeah. Yeah, goat's hair, oh sure, praise the Lord. But they knew this, that it did not matter what they understood or didn't understand. What mattered? Our God told us to give. And if our God told us to give, it's the greatest cause in all the world. There is nothing more important than that which our God told us to do. And I submit to you, folks, that God's work is the greatest work in all the world. There is nothing greater than God's work. I'm talking about soul winning. I'm talking about bus ministry. I'm talking about shepherd's ministry. I'm talking about vacation Bible school. I'm talking about all the opportunities of getting the gospel to people that are lost and on their way to hell. There is no greater cause in all the world. And our missions department, there's nothing greater going on in all the world than getting the gospel to these other people that we can't go to. We don't plan on running a bus route to Scotland anytime soon. I don't see it happening. We can pray about it, and I hope you will pray about it. We'll start our Berean Baptist yacht ministry. Amen. We're not gonna, you know, I don't see us having I don't even see us running buses to Mexico anytime soon. Not every Sunday. Amen. But you know what? We can have a part. How?
Amen.
Simply by, it's the greatest, greatest cause. There's causes. I mean, folks, you know, I don't know if you're like me. I get bombarded with all kinds of mail, all kinds of causes. Feed the hungry here and do this there. And if you know, television, newspaper, everything. I mean, there's all kinds of causes out there. And they're not necessarily bad causes. But the greatest cause in all the world. Next Sunday, you're going to see one of the greatest causes. And you're going to see this whole platform full of our shepherd's ministry. And I tell you, I'll be real honest with you. Every time I go over and I'm with the shepherds and I preach to them or I just talk with them, I recognize what a wonderful cause we have to get the gospel to those dear people and to help them grow in the Lord. There's nothing greater. It's God's work. There isn't anything. There's a lot of good works out there, a lot of good things. But I believe with all my heart, the greatest investment, because it's an eternal investment, is the investment in the souls of man. Matthew 6. And verse 19. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. One thing, you know, you may have your identity stolen here on this earth, but your identity will not be messed with as far as the new name written down in glory. Amen. That inheritance that you have and the treasures in heaven that we have, they'll not be messed with at all. We need to learn to invest our time, our talent, our treasure in that which is eternal. And that is the work of God. These people recognize, hey, this is the greatest thing. And it was not hard for them to, the women to remove their earrings and put them in the offering plate. It was not hard for them to take their mirrors and put them in the offering plate. It was not hard to take the jewelry. It was not hard to take the gold and the silver and the brass and the blue and the purple and the scarlet and the linen and the goat's hair and the ram skins and badger skins. It wasn't hard. And though it was a sacrifice perhaps for many of the families and the people, it was the greatest work they could possibly do. And that was the reason that they gave to the Lord. They gave because it was the greatest work in the world. Secondly, they gave because God commanded it. They gave because God said, give. Again, you know, we live in a day where a lot of folks, well, you know, it doesn't really matter what God says. If it feels good, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. But God said, give. It was God's commandment. Verse, I believe we read it, verse 4. of chapter 35, Moses spake unto the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Take ye from among you an offering. Now, he commanded the offering to be taken. Obviously, is the command that, folks, you need to give. He didn't tell them what to give. It's like when we take up special offerings, well, here's what we should always do. Lord, what do you want me to give? It's so hard to understand, and we all are like this. I do this sometimes myself. We're in a service, maybe we're out of town or even in our own service, and the preacher says, we're going to take up a special offering, and we just automatically reach for something without ever saying, God, what do you want me to do? Or we cringe because we know what's in our wallet and there's only one, and it has two figures rather than just one. God, what do you want me to do? How much do you want? What do you want me to do, God? By the way, God knows what your need's going to be tomorrow. You say, yeah, but cappuccino in the morning. Yeah, but God knows whether you really need that or not, right? Amen. And did you know God can provide some of those things without it coming out of your wallet? I mean, God does so many things. By the way, thank you so much. We had our anniversary and we got cards from folks and some gifts and what a blessing that was. And, you know, God just, he has ways of saying, I love you. Amen. Do you have a way of maybe, when God says, here's what I want you to do, ask him. Talk to him. You can't go wrong if God told you to do it. Amen. It's not possible to go wrong. It is a privilege to have a part in anything God is doing. We deserve nothing. If some people say, but in the end of the month, we have nothing left. That's exactly what we deserve. And by the way, if your bills are paid, you know, I was rejoicing. I was rejoicing. Brother Hollins and Brother Stewart brought the trip bus back. You know, we finally got it back after all these months and got it back. And this and that had to be done and everything. And you know the story. And it pulled in the parking lot. And it just hit me. That thing is paid for. We owe nothing on that bus. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. You know, and I thank the Lord. I said, Lord, thank you so much. You know, thank you so much for letting us have that. And then you look around. Thank you, God, for all that you've let us have. Amen. Thank you for letting us have a part in your work. Because we deserve nothing. Amen. Nothing. But you know, you start talking about people's money, and I mean, it's like trouble, you know. I want you to understand today, we do have a responsibility to obey God in the area of giving. Now, I'm going to show you something in a minute, and what I think is what God has in mind. My giving is to God, amen. It is for the greatest cause, but it is also to obey Him. To obey him. That's for when I don't feel good about my giving. You ever been there before? You know, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. I got to be honest with you. There have been some times he maybe didn't love me as a cheerful giver. Because I might not have been, you know, it's like you take that tithe check we have this bill. And now I got to be honest, it's been a long time since we've even thought about any of that kind of stuff. The truth of the matter is, sometimes it's just a matter, okay, God, I'm going to obey you. I'm just going to obey, because that's right, I'm going to obey. And so for years, I mean, it's tithing, it's giving, it's over and above the tithe, it's faith promise, it's giving to a mission group, it's giving to this, it's giving to that, it's every offering, it's asking, what do you want me to do, Father? And it's all of that. But again, sometimes that reaching in there and pulling whatever it is out, you know, and we just, it comes down to this, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And, you know, it has nothing to do with what anybody else does. It has everything to do with what I stand before my God and I need to obey him. And I do it because it's right. Now, if others don't do it, then that isn't any of my business. I've got to answer to him for what I do. Amen. It's just like going to church. It's just like going soul winning. It's just like having standards. It's just like any of that. I've got to obey him. Me, I'm going to answer to him. I'm not the sheriff of everybody else. And you're not the sheriff of anybody else. You stand before him and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And boy, it's such a precious thing. But here's the key thing. And I'm actually on the back page, and we only have that much left. So see, I mean, we're talking, we will beat the Nazarenes to the restaurant. Look, the third thought here is because here's the thing. The reason for their giving, they gave because their hearts were stirred. Yes, they gave because the cause was so awesome, and they gave because they were obeying God, but their hearts, right here, their hearts were stirred. Now, I'll be honest with you, I have had some giving of a non-heart-stirring nature. All right. You know, first time I tithed, I've told you, my heart hadn't been stirred. You know, I was scared God was going to turn me into a crispy critter, to be honest with you. I mean, the preacher preached about it, and that's why I'm giving. I'm scared to death. A lightning bolt's going to poof, you know. And I put that, I remember I worked at RCA. She worked at the Chamber of Commerce. I think, you know, we were pretty wealthy. We were making like $350 a week back then. And that check for $35, that scared me to death. And you know, again, my heart hadn't been stirred, but I was terrified, you know, and put that thing in the plate and watched it. I mean, like mine. Isn't it wonderful to be free and to know it's not yours? It wasn't mine. I thought it was mine, but it wasn't mine. And the farther it got away from me, the more I realized, oh, I guess it's not mine after all. Especially once it got in the treasurer's hands. Yeah, there was no way I'd ever get that back. Yeah, same here. But, you know, when your heart's stirred, there's nothing like it in all the world. Look at Exodus 35, verse 21. And again, it's over and over through the passage. They came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. And everyone whom his spirit made willing. Now, it's interesting. It says everyone whose. That indicates to me there probably were some who weren't. Don't know that, but I'm guessing there were some said, my goat's hair. Mine, my goat's hair, my jewels, my wood, my tablet. You know, there were probably some. I don't know, but I'm guessing because they're people. But boy, those folks whose hearts got stirred up. They saw the need and they put themselves second with the need being first and God's cause being first, lost souls being first, you know? And their hearts were stirred. I love that. Our hearts get stirred at missions conference. We look at the flags. We think of the world. We think of the countries. We think of people that have never heard the gospel. And yet I submit to you, folks, there's folks all around here that haven't heard it much. I submit in your neighborhood, there's probably somebody that hadn't heard the gospel. And so it's everywhere, and can our hearts be stirred up about it to the point where we will do whatever we possibly can to do something about it? Some folks never get stirred about the things of God and about the things they could be involved in for the Lord, giving time, giving money, giving talent, all of those things. You know, some folks never get stirred. Some folks feel like they got burned, you know. But if you give to God, you never get burned. It's not possible. Cannot take place. And, you know, I think about our missionaries. I think about our own ministry here. And every penny goes to souls getting saved. It's all about that. And their hearts get stirred. And they kept giving even after the goal was met. Well, that tells me they weren't giving just to reach a goal. They were giving because it fired them up.
Amen.
They loved it. and they had to refrain. Wow. And verse 21, I think, is the key, and I am just about done. Everyone whom his spirit made willing. There it is. When the Bible says the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, that's a willing giver.
Amen.
You know, there's no, I'm giver, I don't like that. No. That willing giver, that's somebody whose heart's been stirred up, and they don't complain and gripe about any of their giving at all. It's just, this is such a blessing to be able to give. Brother Collins, and I hate to embarrass him. I don't want to embarrass him, but every year he has just comes to some people, different people, and he asks for a little offering. And I know there are some folks that see him coming, and they hide. I'm going to go to him. I'm so excited about it, just because it's fun. Do you ever think giving can possibly be fun? Oh, it is. It's amazing. Because you're given to the Lord. And what is he going to do with it? What's he going to do with it? And their hearts were stirred. And they were stirred to be willing. Look at Luke 6, verse 38. And I'll give the last point. Last point is so short, it will amaze you. Luke 6 and verse 38. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. You see it? Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And give and it shall be given unto you. Now, that's not the motivation. It's just the reality. You cannot possibly outgive God. His blessings. Do you understand? I used to get on a roll about pink stuff. You know, the pink stuff that our kids have to take when they get sick. The bottle of pink stuff. Antibiotic, whatever it's called. What's it called?
Pepto-Bismol.
I just heard all kinds of stuff. Not Pepto-Bismol. Is it amoxicillin? Is that it? I mean, we used to talk about we need to get bulk quantities of pink stuff, you know. Can Sam's get us a deal on a crate, you know, for our church? And do you understand, though, God controls all that stuff? Or does he? Does he know about your oxygen sensor in your car that's going to go out? Does he send an angel to fix it so it doesn't go out because you don't have the money? Does he know about your washing machine that's 40 years old? You know? Or that you're using a wringer? Does he know or does he not? Can he keep that tire from going flat? Can the angel ride along with his finger in the hole so you can keep driving till you can afford that thing? Does God, is he able to do those kinds of things? I'm just saying, give and it shall be given unto you. The most miserable people in Christianity, I'm convinced, are people that just say, mine. The people having the most fun are the people saying, yours.
Amen.
It's yours. I close with this. Number three, we've seen the recipient of their giving. Number two, we've seen the reason for their giving. And number three, we see the result of their giving. Chapter 36 and verse 5. Go there. I love that. I love that passage. Chapter 36 and verse 5. Back in Exodus. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. Ma'am, please don't bring any more goats here. Sir, please don't bring any more brass. That load of sticks, no, take those away. Don't you love it? It says, so the people were restrained from bringing. Sunday morning came and you looked at the bulletin, the program, and you said, hey, There's no offertory. Wait a minute. There's no offering. What's that all about? Huh? Isn't that good? Verse 7, for the stuff they had. I like that. I like that word stuff. Isn't that good? That's everything. That's the goat's hair. That's the gold. Goats and gold, it all is the same. Why? It was for the Lord. The stuff they had was sufficient. What's that mean? That means the work got done. The work got done. Sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Pastor, we paid the bills. We have extra. We have money left over. What do you want to do? Tell the people, stop. You know what would happen, though? Promise, guaranteed. There's some folks that are having so much fun, they wouldn't. Just having too much fun. Do I have to stop? Couldn't I bring some more goat's hair? I'm kind of hung up on that. I like it. Couldn't I bring some more brass? Preacher, would it be all right if I've got this pile of shittim wood, and couldn't we, you know, maybe somebody can use it. Amen. Amen. The result, the work got done. And more. And more. And that's it. You know, I've said this for many, many years as a pastor. I've said, the money is here to do everything God wants to do.
Amen.
Everything God wants to do. The money is here. Every missionary that we are supposed to support, the money is here to do it with. The problem is, it's in our wallets. It's in our checking accounts. It's in our savings accounts. It's in our pleasure, our fun, and everything else accounts. And we simply need to trust the Lord.
Amen.
And just talk to Him about it. That's the thing, you know, that I ask. We have folks that haven't been saved very long, and it's like, I'm supposed to do what? This is how much is his? And they start calculating, you know, get out their little calculator thing, and whoa. Oh, let me tell you, once you get into this realm of serving God, you've just started having fun.